Welcome to the Dungeon of Delirium podcast.
Drusilda here with another dastardly tale from my wicked vault. Before we get started, make sure to check out our Valentine's special on YouTube. Despite its holiday theme, and much like my cauldron and the herbs burning in my unholy bong, it is evergreen. We'll be back with another exciting video episode on the high holiday of 420, joined by the mighty Bong Wizard. Tonight's tale is a cautionary one. Don't meddle in black magic and you won't run afoul of the lurkers beyond the shadow. Join us for The Hex of the Black Candle.
Light a candle in the attic room. Gaze upon the eyes of doom. Wake the witch in earthen tomb. Born again from wicked womb.
The attic floor was hard and uneven on my spine, and my lungs were choked with dust. It was dark, the low-ceilinged room cut with shafts of silver moonlight. I could smell burnt candle wax through the musty air. I braced myself on one arm and sat up. Where was my sister Delilah? I tried to recall the evening's events, but they became jagged and incomplete after we entered the Dwyer house. We had apparently lit the candle. It was still bellowing thin serpents of smoke into the room, coiling on the ceiling, ready to strike. What had knocked me unconscious? I stood as much as I could, the 5-foot ceiling causing me to bend forward awkwardly as I lumbered towards the stairs down.
The attic floor was hard and uneven on my spine, and my lungs were choked with dust. It was dark, the low-ceilinged room cut with shafts of silver moonlight. I could smell burnt candle wax through the musty air. I braced myself on one arm and sat up. Where was my brother Robert? I tried to recall the evening's events, but they became jagged and incomplete after we entered the Dwyer house. We had apparently lit the candle. It was still bellowing thin serpents of smoke into the room, coiling on the ceiling, ready to strike. What knocked me unconscious? I stood as much as I could, the 5-foot ceiling causing me to bend forward awkwardly as I lumbered towards the stairs.
Memories began to flood my mind so quickly I had to brace myself on the railing before descending the stairs.
It had been me who had lit the candle.
It had been me who had lit the candle. We'd come here before, but never gone through with it.
The Dwyer house was that house in our hometown. The one that never sold, stood abandoned, beckoned young minds to explore its mysteries.
To devour its secrets.
To embrace its depths and welcome its darkest truths.
It was situated on the corner of Elm and Maple, so you couldn't walk to school without passing it. In the fall, when the trees surrendered their leaves, they became like hands, arms reaching up to the attic window.
Where Mary Dwyer, witch of Twin Pines, lit the black candle and took her own life.
Or so they say.
I didn't know of anyone who'd actually done it. We'd talked about it for years, but never went through with it.
It occupied such a dark corner of our mind that I
was afraid if we lit it and nothing happened, some of the mystery would
die with it.
We'd bought a black candle at Cranmore's Goods. It was unscented, and I could smell it burning now.
It reminded me of wax vampire teeth.
Of those hideous wax grins they sold at Halloween.
As I started to descend the stairs, the smell of coiling candle smoke fading, I could remember lighting the candle.
I patted my pocket and felt the book of matches.
The legend was clear that you had to use a match.
Danny Hirsch had lit one with a Bic, and nothing happened. And that was enough for
many to stop believing. But not
us.
Nothing had happened at first. We sat with our eyes closed, the smell of melting wax and the faint flicker of
the candle. The only sound.
I followed her down the stairs when she appeared. Mary.
She looked afraid. The noose she had hung from the rafters still around her neck.
Of course, the window had been replaced since her jump.
But the knot she had tied the rope around was still there.
Delilah stayed upstairs. I should have. Mary didn't notice me following her until we got to the bottom of the steps.
She turned to me as we entered the third floor hallway with a look of panic.
She pointed back up the stairs, and I heard a deafening thud. I ran back up to see my sister heaped in the corner, unconscious.
I ran back up to see my brother heaped in the corner, unconscious.
I ran up to her. She was breathing.
There was nothing else in the room with us.
I ran back down the stairs,
hoping the taps were turned on. I needed to get
water for my twin sister.
No luck. Nobody had lived here in a generation. And the apparition of Mary continued down to the second floor. The rope tied to her neck seemed to stretch up to the attic, no longer hanging loosely by her side, but 100 feet long and growing as she continued into the bowels of the house.
I called out to her.
Please help us.
She ignored my pleas and descended further.
I followed.
She traveled beyond the main foyer and down into a basement.
And I followed.
It was then that she turned to me and mouthed,
Leave.
I should have listened.
But of course I didn't.
I struggled to recall what happened in that basement, the one I now found myself heading towards again.
I was certain I would find
my sister's body down there.
Since I couldn't find him in the attic.
The basement was lit by a bulb on a string.
The power hadn't worked when I went down there the first time.
Now it was perfectly illuminating
his dismembered body,
which was already teeming with maggots,
that made a squelching sound as they devoured his dead flesh from the bone.
I remembered what I found in the basement.
I never should have entered.
A voice spoke to me in the darkness.
It told me what it would do.
I was having such a lovely dream.
The voice didn't come from anywhere in particular. It was all around me.
There is a price for such a rude interruption.
The sound of hundreds of teeth, claws, nails, and bones sliding across concrete filled my ears.
I was certain it would consume me and then find
Robert in the attic and consume him too.
I awoke hungry. I am going to eat something that you love. I am going to take from you what you never had and make you feel that loss until it breaks you, until you have a short fall on a long rope like sweet Mary.
Then I woke in the attic.
And he was gone.
And she was gone.
And here was my twin's body.
I ran.
I'm not proud of it.
I still feel like a coward.
But he was dead.
But she was dead. I called the police once I got to the payphone.
At Cranmore's. They showed up 30 minutes later.
Our mom arrived shortly after.
I couldn't bear to look her in the eye.
Knowing I let her child die.
The cops did a thorough search and there was no trace of Robert.
The cops did a thorough search and there was no trace of Delilah.
My mother held me as I sobbed.
I'm sorry, Mom. Delilah's gone.
Robert is gone.
She looked at me.
Confused.
My dear.
Who are you talking about?
The Hex of the Black Candle was written and directed by Kevin Klausman. Executive produced by Kevin Klausman and Chelsea Darling. Featuring Kevin Klausman as Robert, the poem, and the voice. Chelsea Darling as Delilah. Original music by Kevin Klausman.